do we also want to see that there's not only a word of accusation, but also a word of remembrance of what the Lord had done for them.
Yeah.
And in that way, to speak to their consciences and their hearts.
Kevin, I was just going to read them. I brought you up. I brought you out. I delivered you. I drove out from before you. I gave you their land. You know, it's easy to look back at Israel. But now, wait a minute. Am I going to take time to look at my own life? What would the Lord say to you and I today? What would He say of what He has done for us? What would He call us to remember? Can you think of how many times that He has been faithful in helping, supporting, encouraging, in doing things for you? This is the great question. What has my response to Him been? Because this is all about response today, isn't it? This is about response. How have we responded to a faithful God to this point in our lives? We were saying, for those that weren't here last night, we are at the end of a year. Has it been a year for Him? Or has it been a year for me? We're also at the beginning of a new year. How am I going to go into that new year? You see, the Lord wants a positive response, doesn't He? That I'm going to go in with many of us. I want to go into a new year in a different way than we ended the year that we're in.
So again, He takes us to the Word of God to remind us of what He has done for us. Now, Patrick, what happened to you last year? Not last year, actually this year, in August. You know, some people, you were in a car accident, right? Some people think of things like that. Well, it's a coincidence. How things happen in life, so it's no big deal. Was that the voice of the Lord speaking? Now, I just use that because I know what happened to Patrick, but I'm sure, like Chuck was saying, in every and each one in your life, the voice of the Lord is saying, look what I have done for you. Read the Word. See what I have done for you. And look where are you ending. This is not coincidence. Taking them out of the land of Egypt, just not something that happened. Carrying them through the wilderness, it wasn't just something like that, just that happened. It wasn't a coincidence. It was the plan of God. It was the purpose of God for blessing. That's what He desired to do for each and every one of you. Whatever circumstances you have gone through last year, and the Lord had carried you through it. And you know what? He's saying in the end, you did not listen to my voice. I have spoken to you through saving you from an accident, through doing something for you. I have spoken to you. Did you hear my voice? Or you thought, well, you know, things happen. Did you hear the voice of the Lord telling you that? Or you want to continue on your own way? Look, you continue on your own way. The Midianites are around, and they're going to make your life miserable. You're going to be working very hard, and you're not going to enjoy anything of it. And you're going to be spiritually poor. And you're going to be no testimony. You're going to be a stumbling block for many. You, young people. You, every one of you. A help to somebody or a hindrance to somebody. The way you talk, the way you act, the way you carry yourself. Plain and simple. You have not hearkened to my voice. You have not remembered what I have done for you.
So you're saying that it's not just the incident like Patrick's or the traumatic incidents, but even in the still small voice with which He's been using to speak to us, that He expects that there is going to be some response. And yet He says, you have not obeyed, you have not hearkened. How solemn that is. That's a real sad commentary, wouldn't you think so?
I was thinking of the dryness in our souls that we often experience because of the decisions that we've made. And the reason why God is saying this is because they were impoverished. I mean, their food supply had been utterly wiped out. And we'd like to liken that to, again, as we'd said, doing things in their own energy, the energy of the flesh. Earthly things, you know, thinking that those things would satisfy the new man. But they don't. And so they were impoverished. I mean, they couldn't think. They couldn't remember. There was no connection to the fact that God had delivered them with a mighty hand from Egypt. It was a distant memory, the things that God had done for them. And I'm sure, young people, that these are things that you've experienced, and maybe some of you are experiencing presently. You know, one of the things that we know as those who are older, we have passed through the path where you are now. And we know these things are real. And secondly, we can see the changes from year to year, whether they're positive or negative. You might come and you might throw on a nice dress or a nice shirt and say, well, I'm going to look just like that young man or young lady over there that's been attending the meetings regularly and is moving on. But you know what? We can see. And God knows that you're impoverished. And I believe the reason why he's bringing these verses before us is to say, listen, you need to remember that the Lord has saved you, that he's brought you from darkness to light, that he set you at his table. You know, think of Mephibosheth. With all of his weakness, the lameness in his feet, he was put at the king's table. His feet were out of sight. God wants to remind you, young people, that his storehouse is overflowing with things. So much more than what is in these caves. So much more than what has been destroyed by the Midianites. So much more than what you've given up in pursuit of earthly things. I believe the Spirit of God is saying there needs to be a better balance. You know, it's not about, well, let me not go to school. It's not about, well, you know, mom, dad, I'm flunking because, well, I love the Lord more than I love school. No. It's a balance. And I think we see that in the life of Gideon, that there was a balance, an understanding to whom he belonged, and then he had a responsibility for the things that God had entrusted in his hand. But let us not forget what Christ has done for our sakes.
Let me just say, and I think it needs to be echoed and re-echoed for us. We live in a world that serves a God of chance. You, if you belong to Christ, you serve a God of purpose. Let us always remember that. I don't take lightly either the accident that Patrick was in. I remember hearing a little bit about the details of that accident and of how things could have been so much different. But I remember a time, and Patrick won't mind me saying this, I remember some other incidents in the life of Patrick from Grove City a few years ago. I remember how God worked in circumstances that year. And then I remember the night when I heard him come down and say, Mr. Chuck, I'm not saved. We belong to a God of purpose. He's working things out for his own honor and his glory. Now the great question is, are those things being worked out in my life? Or am I on this other mode over here? The mode of chance. The mode of this was just an accident. This just happened to happen in this way. I don't believe in that. My wife and I, in coming up here, we came through Harrisonburg, Pennsylvania. And I remember making that trip with my daughter Kim years ago. And the circumstances that evolved around where she would end up having her training. And just looking, and we look back, and we just see how God guided and directed. She never ended up here. She ended up somewhere else. God is a God of purpose, and he wants us to realize that and to lay hold of it for our lives. You see, that's what's before us, isn't it? Our life here till Christ comes, and how he's going to use us. Am I going to be a vessel for his use, or am I going to be just a Christian, saved, a fire escape? I'm not going to hell, I am going to heaven, but my life has really not counted too much for him. You know, it brings us back to those words again, doesn't it? Of real exercise before the Lord. This is where he brought Israel. But ye have not obeyed my voice. Not a real pleasant thing to hear in circumstances like this. You know, the psychologist would come along today and would say, well, Chuck, you shouldn't say those things to these people when they're down and out. You're going to hurt their feelings. Don't you realize that they have a self-esteem and they've got all of these things and you've just come here and you've just blown their world apart? Well, that's the way the Lord works. Ye have not obeyed my voice. The Lord says to Israel, you must face what has brought you here. If you don't face what has brought you here, you will never get where Gideon is living. You'll never be able to come there.
Should we go on? Just take a stand and maybe we'll...